papers. She's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to shoot Greg Szymanski. He turns his microphone down so much I can't hear myself talk. There we go. Smack him upside the head, Mr. Producer. At any rate, this is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stattmiller. We'll be live with you for the next 2 hours on this Friday, the 10th of March, 2006. Today's guest, John Sharp. John is a 93 distinguished graduate from the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland, where he received his degree with honors in English and emphasis in political thought and history. That makes me laugh because the people in Washington, these Congress critters, have no idea about political thought and especially history. See, they keep forgetting one little thing. It's called a Constitution. We can have codified laws, we can have statutory laws, we can have uniform commercial codes, we can turn our government into a corporation and not be shy about it, but that's okay. You people out there grousing that you don't have any rights left, hey, it's the corporation doing business, so sit down and shut up. And by the way, you have to pay for it. At any rate, continuing, I'm sorry, it's just one of these Fridays, I'm in one of these moods here. Mr. Sharp, he served as a Navy submarine officer for 7 years, culminating in an overseas tour at the U.S. Navy submarine headquarters in the Mediterranean in Naples, Italy. Oh, what a nice tour of duty that must have been. In September of 2001, he co-founded IHS Press, the only publisher dedicated exclusively to social teachings of the Catholic Church. In 2003, he launched a new IHS Press imprint called The Gates of Vienna, Books, which specializes in the works of history dealing with the defense and decline of the Western civilization. Man, those presses should be running 24/7 because we are in a steep decline. In 2005, just last year, the IHS Press launched its third imprint, Light in the Darkness Publications, which was established to look at current events and problems through the light of common sense. Sound scholarship, that means brains, folks, and the ability to apply them, and the wisdom of past ages. See, this is also what we forget as a species, and one of God's creations here. You know, we've made all the mistakes there are to make. All we have to do is look back yesterday, and day before, and last week, and last month, and last year, and last century, last millennium, it doesn't matter, going back into recorded history. All we have to do is look what we've done. You know, the techno-wizzy stuff changes, but human nature does not. And we keep doing the same stupid things over and over and over again. Okay, enough of that. Take the break here. Come back on the other side with John Sharp. And he's put together an interesting book, Neocon Books. Of course, neocons don't like this very much because it exposes the little Machiavellian train of thought. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Okay, all right, enough. Excuse me. Where did that come from? What am I? Am I at the Grammy or Emmy Awards here? Am I introducing somebody? Or
and the winner is?
My goodness, whatever that is, get it off of my show. I hate that. At any rate, I have John Cha. I told you I was in a strange mood today, folks. Hey, it's too nice down here. It's springtime in Texas. Okay. This is the time of the year, and I couldn't figure out why the people in Texas, first year I was down here, came down in early spring. I mean, it was way early. And I couldn't figure out why everybody was going goo-goo, ga-ga over the little bluebells. Well, down here, they have this nice little flower. It's like a clover, and it's about 2-3 inches high. A real nice blue, purplish color. Would you say that's the color of it, Mrs. Producer there? Okay. At any rate, people are pulling over their cars and snapping pictures along the medians and highways. I'm going, what's going on down here? Well, when it got into the summer, then I understood why they were going goo-goo-ga-ga over the bluebells. Because, folks, down here, You want to know why armadillos have thick shells? So they don't dehydrate, aside from the protection factor. But at any rate, it just gets real, real hot down here. So we have it's almost 90 degrees today. Sunny skies, not a chemtrail to be seen. Nobody hacking and dropping dead of emphysema on the sidewalks out there. And the buds, I mean, everything, folks, is in full bloom down here. You guys up north are about a month behind us. So at least 6 weeks, maybe. But at any rate, I just had to tell you that. I know you're probably sitting up there in the snow and the slush going, you know, Stattmiller, shut up. But you get me back every year. When you got 85 degrees up there, and we got like 105, 110 down here. So it all balances out. All right. My guest today, John Sharp. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
John, how are you? It's great to talk to you again.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the end of the week. Things have been real, real funky, haven't they? But today I got
You're not kidding.
Today I just got out on a motorcycle for a couple hours, and I wouldn't care.
Well, that's good for you. We got great weather here, too. You know, we're in the dumpy Washington, D.C. area, and I heard you say it was, 90 there today?
Yeah, about that, 88,
wow.
90 degrees, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the 70s, which is hot, you know, for this time of year in this part of the country, but 90 is incredible in the first of March or beginning of March.
Well, and up in D.C., what do you guys have? You have the cherry blossoms.
We do, yep, and they haven't quite come out yet. I mean, it may be another, I can see the trees now, and it may be another couple weeks or something, but that'll be nice if it holds up like it is now.
If it does. I was just talking to a banker today, teaching him about the Federal Reserve structure. And things of this nature, and I told him he's a fairly young man, and he wanted to take a couple of weeks off. I said, well, before somebody nukes Washington, D.C. or whatever, you should go up there and go through the museums. Take a lunch, take about a week to go through all the museums. You don't want to go running through all of them. But a lot of people that live in this country have not even gone to Washington, D.C. and seen what the taxpayers have paid for.
It would be really something to do and something to miss if they you know, come into town and they don't do that. It's a real shame.
John, I think we got you on that same funky phone you were on before. Can you get to a hardline?
Well, yeah, let me see what I can do. It's going to be the landline is going to be about 5 minutes, and this time I promise 5 minutes, but I was hoping that this thing would work out. But
it's a little bit better than last time. I just didn't want to do extended time with that. Because
That's fine. You know, the problem is you catch me pretty much on the way home from work about every time, and no matter how hard I try to make it work, the bureaucrats always seem to get their hooks in to be right at the end of the day on Friday. So.
Well, you mean why they're out there golfing? Nobody is around on Friday afternoon in Washington, D.C. I hope everybody understands that.
Yeah, well, nobody except for the real workaholics, you know, who do the war plans for Iran and all the rest of that business.
Yeah, they're working overtime. They've got something new to work on now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's
a little break from the monotony that way.
Yeah, and you know, it's strange what's going on here, John. There's a lot of news stories that are coming around that the neocons are quietly admitting now that the American objective in Iraq has failed. They're making statements like this. This is rather amazing to me. Now, how are they going to keep pushing the neocon policy out there, and especially running up to here, coming up very shortly for Iraq? What are they doing? Are they trying to sabotage what they've been up to this whole time? I don't understand this.
Well, I just wonder if they're trying to, give us use the failure in Iraq to push us into Iran. In other words, you know, everybody's sick of Iraq now, and frankly, you know, people are almost tired of hearing of it, which is a tragedy because, you know, people continue to get killed and continue to get maimed, and, you know, the American people with their traditionally short attention span are kind of like, well, we've had it. We're, you know, humiliated, and I don't wonder if, I'm sure you're referring to this Buckley admission, you know, where William F. effectively said, look, we got to face the facts that we've lost. I don't wonder if they're not trying to build a bridge from that defeat and say, hey, let's try something new. Let's see if we can't be successful in Iran when we've made such a mess out of Iraq.
Well, and they're going to try. In the Independent, the online edition, talking about William Buckley, the venerable editor of the National Review, to George Sullivan, the once editor of the New Republic, now an influential commentator and blogmeister, The conservative columnist George Will was gently, as the article says, skeptical from the outset. He now glumly concludes that all three members of the original Axis of Evil, not only Iran and North Korea, but also Iraq, it's not exactly cooling their heels on this one. They're saying are more dangerous than when that term was coined in 2002. So I'm looking at this. On one hand, the byline here for the story is, they're admitting they were wrong, but yet George Will, which knows what's going on, I mean, this guy is not stupid.
He's
been pawning himself off as being a conservative for a number of years. Just because you wear a bow tie doesn't make you a conservative.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Well, you know, I wonder also if the real issue isn't to kind of finish the same thought that, you know, I hear now a lot of the neocon propaganda to try to get us into Iran tends to focus around the insurgency in Iraq, and now we're being told that the Iranians are sending weapons into Iraq and that it's the Iranian weaponry that is being used to harm U.S. troops and blah, blah, blah. And I wonder if they are trying to now, almost accomplish their whole neocon project like they started off. I mean, we all know from the writings of these hard-right Israelis that from the very beginning, the vision was to reshape the Middle East, and that meant dealing with Syria and Iran and Iraq. And I wonder if now they're able to use, from a propaganda standpoint, this notion that, well, Iraq is kind of a mess, but frankly, it's a mess because the Iranians are now messing around, and they're trying to hold us up, and they're trying to foul us up, and so we have no choice. In order to win in Iraq, we have to take on Iran. I mean, to me, this is very, very insidious. And,
well, hey, the next thing you'll be hearing, and this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not quite, we might find out they have to invade the South Bronx. Everything is right with the Middle East.
Right. No, you're not kidding. And this, I mean, to me, it makes you waffle. I'm sure you have the same feelings. You kind of waffle back and forth wondering, well, was this line of attack, in other words, the kind of sinister, underhanded, come in through the back door, hey, in order to win in Iraq, we have to take on Iran, was this part of the original plan? In other words, did they have this PR strategy worked out from the beginning, or are they just very adept at, modifying their propaganda to fit what the headlines will feed them?
Well, and George Bush's poll numbers, I'm not a big poll watcher, but in political cases, to test the barometer of how well the, I almost used a T word, treason, let's find a gentler word, wayward public and foreign policy. How's that one?
Sure, that's good. Or say to be charitable, the guy say that he's got his duties and there's maybe a certain failure to fulfill them in an ideal way.
Well, and of course, George was, it's the Republicans that are good for business in America. Well, since George Bush has taken over, he has spent more money than all previous presidents going back to George Washington, for gosh sakes.
He has spent
more money than all of them combined. I thought Ronnie Reagan was a bad guy when he had his run-up with the Cold War against the Ruskies. No, George makes him look like a piker.
Yeah, it's incredible, the amount of money. And I think we've spent so much that people just lose touch of the magnitude. I mean, these figures, $8, $9 trillion worth of deficit and the defense bill now for, half a trillion. I mean, these numbers just don't mean anything to anyone anymore.
Well, and I wasn't paying any attention. You were in D.C. What was the scuttlebutt the other day when Condi Rice was in front of the committees up there begging for, what, $90 billion more? They're saying it's emergency funds for the war operations in Iraq?
Yeah, well, that's typical, because they're able to, and I'm a kind of a conspiratorial and a suspicious guy, but I will say that it is a fairly well-known practice around here for them to put a certain amount of money in the budget. So the defense budget, when it gets submitted, I guess it was just signed out. The 06 budget was just signed out last year. You may remember the discussion about the McCain Amendment forbidding torture, as if we need yet another law to remind people that there's something wrong with torturing. But that was just submitted at the end of last year to pay for all of 06. But that pays for procurement. It buys weapon systems and it invests in what they call programs, which are specific kind of financial entities that get funded.
All right, I'll tell you what, hold the break. You probably can't hear it on the cell, but we got the bumper music running. We're going to take
No problem. I'm just near a landline, so I'll ring you right back during the break.
Okay, John, thanks. We'll be right back with John Sharp, author of Neoconda, Neoconda Again.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
All right, folks, we are back. We've got John Sharp back on a landline this time around, and neoconned again. It's the 2-volume set of books, and this basically centers around Iraq, Afghanistan, the neoconservatives, folks. They had to invent a new term, of course, because this is a brand new conservatism you're seeing in this country. You thought conservatism in the past meant that, well, you were conservative. Well, what does that mean? What were you trying to conserve? Well, you weren't outlandish. You had your set of values, and you didn't stray from those, and you weren't for big government or big spending or, well, of course we had to invent a new term. So hence neocon, or neo meaning new, we get the neoconservatives, the new conservatives. And, of course, it wasn't bad enough that the Democratic Party kind of like went out on its own. How would you say this? Their own foray. You know, it used to be that they were consciously minded people that they didn't like poor people running around without housing, and it was for the people. It was the People Party and the Republican Party. Well, that was viewed as more as the, well, it's good for business. Well, folks, what's good for business when you're $51 trillion in the hole? You're looking at deficits that just are out of sight. It's so bad that nobody wants to deal in the dollars anymore, and that goes back to the Bretton Woods Agreement that the dollar was going to be the reserve currency of the planet. Well, the Congress critters in Washington, D.C. got a little heavy there, handed with the pen and the checkbook, And it's just it's like a Rolodex, folks. They just keep flipping it over and signing checks and mortgaging the future. But, well, we're not going to have a future here because they've spent us into a hole that we're never going to be able to buy ourselves back out of. We can't buy back the debt with funny money. It just can't be done. You want to borrow some money? Okay, borrow the money. Try to pay back the debt. But the juice is still running, isn't it? So we find ourselves in this morass. And it's to the point right now, John, that they're not even talking about budgetary matters up there because what budget? I mean, what ceiling? What limits? What anything?
Yeah, there's nothing. And it may or may not be known among your listeners who are certainly probably better educated than most that the Congress has to authorize an increase to the national debt limit. And I think there was a good piece by Ron Paul maybe 8 months ago or something like that, the last time. They're either coming up on an increase just now or they just did one. But then the one before that went from some ridiculous thing like, you know, $7 billion to trillion to $7.5 billion, he said that it doesn't – that process is in place to try to humiliate the legislators. So they're forced to rein in their spending because they know they have to make this extra effort. And he says it's a circus. I mean, this thing comes up. They put the paperwork together, everyone signs, it's a big yawn, and then up the thing goes. He says, really, it's just a national, it's a scandal and kind of should be a humiliation, but these guys just don't care. They're totally insensitive to it anymore.
Well, and I've got some surefire ways to save some money around Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd make it a part-time legislature. They're doing the business of the American people, and the more business they do, the worse the American people find themselves in, worse condition. You know, let's have a part-time legislature. Forget these guys voting their own pay raises.
Yeah.
I would do is I would put an end to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The people are already in the system. Okay, keep borrowing the money until they die off. You and I are going to be one of those fine people.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
One of these years too soon for my liking, but okay, just cut the program off. But instead of the government getting in there and with the private corporations that would do this, no. They just get out of the health care and retirement business entirely. I think we're smart enough out here that we can find our own health care and we can find our own retirements. And you know what? If we don't do that, then if you screw up in your life bad enough, you don't get to go on welfare either.
Right. So, well, we're going to have to. We're not going to have any choice. And, of course, this is what's bringing the major sort of American old standby corporations, bringing them down. I mean, GM and, you know, you go through the industry, the airlines, the auto manufacturers, you name it, they're all collapsing financially, and it's mostly because of these pension obligations that somehow we've cooked up this scheme where if you work, doing maybe a reasonable service for some company, the burden that the company has to bear is to take care of you basically until you die, and it just really makes no sense, but that's the private welfare state, I like to call it. There really is no difference. I mean, either Uncle Sam coddles you from cradle to grave or a corporation does, and the two of them are so much in bed with one another that at this point it's a distinction without a difference.
Well, and John, I'm sure you've raised a hackle of a lot of people out there. Every time I bring this up, I get the people who are on fixed incomes that write me nasty letters.
Yeah.
And I feel for them. I mean, a lot of these people out there right now, and I'm not joking when I say this, it's should I buy the regular dog food or should I buy the premium Alpo this week? You know, I mean, energy costs. It is killing people that are on fixed incomes. But, again, why are we dependent on the government to shell out money that the rest of us have to pay into? And the people that are on the programs paid into it also, but only to have the funds robbed by the people, the Congress critters up there. You know, the IRAs, the big revelation to people out there, when they finally figured out, well, wait a minute, I can open up an IRA and I can make one heck of a lot more money than what the government is supposedly investing it for me.
That was
a big revelation back in the 80s. People are going, my goodness, well, I'm going to have one of these IRAs.
Yeah, well, one of the problems I think we have, too, in this country, you raise the issue that people who, you know, object to when you talk about this is that we need to get into principles and back to discussing ideas and things instead of just, these little tidbits of fact where people have a pet issue that they
you mean rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic before she goes down?
Exactly.
Maybe we might have enough time to polish the silver, too. Tell you what, we'll break. We'll come right back with John Sharp. Neil Condon again. We'll tell you how to get your copies.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Neocon and neocon again is a mythbuster, folks, that must be read by all Americans who are concerned about the profound absence from the public discourse of truthful information on the war in Iraq, resulting in a continued support, well-intentioned but misguided, for the war. Neocon and neocon again, the two-volume set. How many people, John Sharp, contributed to these two books? We lost him? Okay. Well, they cut his hard line? Was he on a hard line? Okay. All righty. We'll try to get him back. Did he leave a number or... Okay. All right, so I'll just sit here and peddle for a while. Well, that's okay. I can do a couple news stories here. Bush declares war on freedom of press by Doug Thompson, Capitol Hill Blue. The rant, using many of the questionable surveillance and monitoring techniques that brought both questions and criticism to this administration. President George W. Bush has launched a war against reporters who write stories unfavorable to his actions and is planning to prosecute journalists to make examples of them in his war on terrorism. Are you listening out there, you journalistic people? Bush recently directed Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to use whatever means at your disposal to wiretap, follow, harass, and investigate journalists who have published stories about the administration's illegal use of warrantless wiretaps, use of faulty intelligence, and anything else he deems detrimental to the war on terror. Reporters for the New York Times, which along with Capitol Hill Blue, revealed use of the National Security Agency to monitor phone calls and emails of Americans, say FBI agents have interviewed them, and criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department admit they are laying the groundwork for a grand jury that could lead to criminal charges. CIA Director Porter Goss told Congress recently that it is my aim and it is my hope that we will witness a grand jury investigation with reporters present being asked to reveal who is leaking this information. I believe the safety of this nation and the people of this country deserve nothing less. We deserve more than you, Mr. Goss, I can tell you that much. As part of the investigation, the Justice Department, Department of Homeland Security, and the National Security Agency are wiretapping reporters' phones, following journalists on a daily basis, searching their homes and offices under the USA Patriot Act provision that allows secret, undisclosed searches and poring over financial and travel records of hundreds of Washington-based reporters. Are you guys getting nervous out there yet? Oh, well, it's Homeland Security. We're not going to write any negative stories. You know, it was the terrorists. It was this. It was that. Until it gets down to the point where they take away your journalistic freedom, you should be squealing like the pigs that you are. Not all of them out there, the ones that have been bought off, and you know exactly where your paycheck is coming from. Spokesmen for the Justice Department of Homeland Security admit that there are ongoing investigations regarding publications of stories involving threats to national security, but will not reveal what those investigations include. How's that, John Sharp? How do you like them apples?
Oh, it's just lovely. The news gets better and better, doesn't it?
Well, I'm telling you, we need to stifle free speech and journalism, which is the who, what, where, why, and how, supposedly, of any given topic, especially when it deals with the government. They're just out there hounding them to death right now, trying to scare them into submission of not writing anything negative about Iraq and soon-to-be Iran war.
Well, and it's evidently working, because I was just discussing today with someone, it kind of makes your eyes roll how the media seem to be serving the same lapdog role that they were in the past. I mean, the stories after stories after stories come out on Iran, and we're told that enrichment of uranium is a danger, and if they get a centrifuge, oh my God, we have to bomb Tehran, and no one, except for the standard, you know, programs like yours, the alternative press, a lot of good stuff on the internet, but in the mainstream, and I don't just mean the three or four big networks, but pretty much everyone all over the quote-unquote major media is just regurgitating this stuff, and I think one of the problems really comes back to the failure or the collapse of investigative journalism, in the sense that nobody does any real reporting or investigative reporting. You have press releases and statements that come from the White House and the other head cabinet departments like State and Defense, and the journalism basically is written around, here's what officials said today. Then maybe they find some bureaucrat in Washington, a think tank, who says, ah, yes, well, this is a genuine concern, and that's it. So the reading public is left with nothing to go on other than, oh, my God, you know, the Iranians are all coming to cut our throats and we have to do something about it.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I mean, we have no, aside from, again, these alternative programs like yours and others, there's no real journalism left anymore. And I think even the old-time media guys, I met Walter Pincus from the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago. Just, it was a brief chat, and I put some of our books, the neocon books, in his hands, and he was at like a media panel in D.C. and basically said that it's finished. The real journalism is just gone. I mean, maybe have to resurrect it. But
well, you remember the scene out of 1984 when they're sitting in their little rundown cubicles and they're sitting there redoing the news stories from the official government line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is turning into.
Yeah. No, you're not kidding. And it's all access control. In other words, if people write the wrong thing, then they know they won't be invited back to the press conferences and the other things that put out the official information. And of course, it's a little bit tied into this economic thing, much like we were talking about with the welfare state and the pensions and all that. Because the media is now a business, it's a corporation. There is a real fear of, oh, if I don't get invited to the White House press briefing, which I need to do to write my stories, I'm finished. I mean, and the whole thing goes out of business. So it's a real problem. I mean, a lot of people ridicule, I guess, BBC or whatever because of the state funding it receives. But there is an argument to be made. I'm not saying this is the solution because it's got maybe as many problems as it would solve. But there's certainly an argument to be made for putting the media, or at least the serious media, on some kind of footing where they don't have to compete against these huge corporate
conglomerates, you know, where GE owns NBC and that kind of thing. I don't think that that's proved that it's not a workable arrangement.
Well, in recent weeks, I wanted to add this, the FBI has issued hundreds of national security letters directing employers, banks, credit card companies, libraries, and other entities to turn over records on reporters. Under the USA Patriot Act, those who must turn over the records are also prohibited from revealing why they have done so to the subject of the federal probes. Well, do you read Capitol Hill Blue, Doug Thompson's Capitol Hill Blue?
No, I don't, but I probably should.
Yeah, you should, because they went after him also. And he penned a letter to the feds, and he gave this lawyer, his lawyer, a letter, and it simply said this: screw you, strong letter to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, because Thompson is not mainstream, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just say he's not mainstream, but
yeah,
there's so many politicians that read his stuff. It's like the Dirty Little Girly magazine that the congressman has stuffed in his third drawer in the back of his desk.
Right.
That they read, because this gives him them the pulse of what's going on in Washington and where the political winds are blowing. So,
Interesting. Yeah, I'm just bringing it up right now. In fact, it really looks good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we were told, and this is what's so bad about this. We're not just talking about an unscrupulous, let's just put it, war in Iraq. Look, the British folks went in there and rearranged the Middle East. That's why you have the countries that you see now. Now we're going to go in there and rearrange the Middle East to probably Western ideals, more to our liking.
Mm.
But that's not what this thing is about.
Right.
And it's amazing to me. You know, George Bush's, I started to mention this before, George Bush's poll numbers have, well, they're not quite calling him a lame duck. They might as well start calling him a lame duck. He's got, 2 years left in his presidency.
Yeah.
They better start it now, because his poll numbers are through the floor.
Yeah.
Here is a guy that has got his finger on the dead man's switch. I mean,
mm-hmm.
literally.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, just a couple of days ago, John, I had a guest on, Dr. Doug Rocky. I call him Rocky. Sounds better, but this guy was setting up all kinds of training programs for the Department of Army and Department of Defense on the use of depleted uranium, safeguards, you know, what to do, what not to do, how to clean up contaminated areas.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that Afghanistan and Iraq alone, over, I think they said, 2,000 tons of depleted uranium are floating around in the air.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
he's saying that it could be a couple of 100,000 U.S. servicemen of all branches of the service that are now contaminated with this stuff. And we're not even talking about the civilians in Afghanistan and Iraq. These guys, you want to talk about birth defects, it's killing a lot of our servicemen. They're coming back, if they're lucky enough to get out of this quagmire, they're coming back, they're having babies that I wouldn't even want to, it defies description.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
and I don't know what's going on. The Democrats are up there thumping here the proverbial, you know, whatever the hell they stand behind,
yeah,
the pulpit or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're saying, well, yes, Homeland Security, you know, well, we're not necessarily down with the war in Iraq, but we're with the president on the war on terror.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. What does the war on terror have to do with stripping away the rights of every single man, woman and child here in America?
Yeah, it's all such nonsense. It's really bad. And you know, and this that's a perfect segue into something that we try to beat the lectern or whatever it is on so often. And what we tried to do with these books, by bringing together, you know, guys like Noam Chomsky and Alex Coburn, whose dad was a Marxist, and you know, people from what many in the mainstream say, oh, there's these fringe leftists, I wouldn't cross the street to read what they have to say, in the same collection with Pat Buchanan and good old Joe Sobran and the late Sam Francis. And because
did Sam die?
He did. Yeah, he died last year early. Well, actually, either was maybe 2004. Now that I think about it, it's
my
a lot
goodness.
Of time has passed.
My God, I wasn't even aware of that. I ran across his card in my Rolodex, and I have his home number. I guess I should just throw that out. I wasn't even aware of that.
Yep, he did. He passed away kind of like a heart attack. You know, I understand he was a little bit overweight, so there. People were, you know, concerned about him in that regard, but you know, again, bringing together this vast range of voices proves that this Republican-Democrat stuff that we're fed, that's dished up to us, is just so much hot air. And I think even the folks with their hearts in the right place are really hampered by it. You know, guys like maybe Carl Levin from Michigan, whose policies I don't agree with by any means all the way across the board, but he's certainly been very good on the intelligence scandal of the war and whatnot. But right. It's always the same thing. They never propose a real alternative. Like, sure. Let's get our head on straight and get out of here. And if we feel like we need to make reparations to the Iraqis, which I think we do for destroying their country,
yeah.
Write them a big check. These guys are big spenders when it comes to government spending. Write them a check and get the heck out of there. Or even the more provocative thesis is perhaps, I've read this a couple of places on the internet, kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, keeping the Shiites, Sunnis, Kurds, Christians, Turks, and on, united in one patchwork nation, is starting to make Saddam look like a pretty impressive statesman compared to some of the nonsense that we've allowed.
And it's already been discussed that they're going to carve up Iraq to give a little dirt to the Sunnis and a little bit to the Shiites. And
what a disaster that'll be.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, folks, in the political realm or in the war footing realm and unrest, it's going to make the Palestinian-Israeli thing look like a kid's cakewalk.
Yep, you're not kidding. Not kidding.
But nobody in Washington, D.C. is stepping up and taking responsibility. As a matter of fact, in the past week, I've seen them go overboard with trying to do damage control and saying, oh, no, there's not a civil war going on in Iraq right now.
Yeah, well, and that's I think one of the things, not to beat our own lectern too much, but one of the things that we try to do with these books, we did include some kind of current events essays. In other words, it's not just up in the ether with the principles of just war, et cetera, which I think is very important. But the end of the second volume, we have some, frankly, explosive essays that blow the lid off a lot of this, what passes for prevailing wisdom on the Shiites and the Sunnis. And it points out, first and foremost, that this Sunni-Shiite thing, to a large extent, is a creation of, again, the same propaganda machine, because it serves the folks who want to stay in Iraq to portray the Sunnis and Shiites are ready to cut each other's throats, when there's a different history that's related in these few current events essays in our books, which we can get into later on, maybe, if you
sure.
still have time. But
yeah, I'll tell you what,
it's important for people bottom line, not to cut you off, but it's important for people to understand that political background, because I don't see how our nation's leaders can give us any credible or realistic policy alternative without knowing the politics and the history of the region. I mean, it's all ignored.
Well, it was portrayed, the Iraqis were some kind of Saddam Hussein fanatics, and that he's a dictator, and anybody that follows Saddam Hussein, they don't want freedom. They're just scared to death of the man. Well,
yeah.
Iraq has about a 6,000-year history.
Yeah, of course.
They were the first ones to have streets that were lighted by electricity. Everybody thought it was New York. Nope, got another one for you. It was actually the streets in Baghdad. In mathematics and in sciences, they are very, very well-versed and read in the subject matter. And these aren't just a bunch of towel heads running around in the desert out there just picking fights because, well, they're just mean people.
Yeah,
We walked in there and literally destroyed an entire culture.
Yep. No, there's no question. And, you know, go back to the Saddam thing. I've had enough independent confirmation from people who either, like Jude Winiski, you know, he passed away last year in August. And somebody kind of jokingly said, well, it's good the books were finished and went to press because our contributors were starting to, you know, first Sam and then Jude, and everyone was getting a little nervous, like, can we please finish this before I'm next? But he corresponded with a man in London, an Iraqi, a Shiite, who continuously, in all the emails he sent to Jude, said, I am a Shia Muslim, but my first loyalty is to Iraq, to the nation. For some 50 years...
I'm sorry, I still have you? Did I lose him again?
Yeah, John, can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got off the line with you the last time. But, you know, for some 30, 40 years, the Iraqis did live side by side. Shia, Sunni, Kurd, Christian, Turk, and, of course, Saddam's government was full of, non-Sunnis. And I think this is one of the biggest propaganda victories that started you know, it, during the war and maybe even before the war, because you remember, I'm sure, the speeches from the podium of the Defense Department press conferences where Rumsfeld would get up and say, well, you know, the Saddam elements or the former regime elements or the dead enders or the, you know, all the people who were fighting the occupation were portrayed as, just like you said earlier about our popular perception, they were portrayed as fanatics, goofballs, who in their right mind wouldn't welcome this occupying army? And so, you know, it's been a real propaganda campaign to portray the resistance, as we prefer to call it, I think it's more accurate as opposed to the insurgency, as a narrow sectarian thing where you have this ruling caste, the Sunnis. They have sour grapes now, and so they're going to blow everyone up because they want to get back and reassume power that they can oppress everyone else. And that's all predicated on the assumption that they did, in fact, oppress everyone else. And I think the books raise a lot of credible objections against that thesis.
Right.
That theory is wrong. The rest of the argument falls with it.
Well, yeah, but this is an argument that they don't want anybody to examine. They're willing to expand operations. We got to check out NATO, too. I'll talk more about that after this break. We'll tell you how to get neocon.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Neocon to neocon again, folks. It's, well, we're talking hypocrisy, lawlessness, and the rape of Iraq. Essays and interviews from Robert Fisk, Noam Chomsky, Milton Vorst, I think his name is.
Yep, Vorst. Yep, exactly right.
Clays Wren, Cockburn and St. Clair. I don't know who those people are.
Yep, those guys do
the Counterpunch newsletter and website, counterpunch.org.
Oh, cool. Michael Jones, Kirkpatrick Sale, Naomi Klein, Justin Raimondo.
Yeah, he's the antiwar.com guy, the editor.
And Neocond, we've got Sam Francis, Joe Sobran, Pat Buchanan, Jude Wininski, Thomas Fleming, Eric Margolis, Wendell Berry, Paul Gottfried, Charlie Reese. I love Charlie Reese.
Yeah, isn't he great?
I'll tell you what, this guy, for a syndicated columnist, I anytime I read any of his columns, and I do it verbatim on the air, I call it Reese's Pieces. I'm sure he can't do that because there's a candy company out there that's got to remember that. But both of these books. Now, how many pages is Neocond?
Neocond is about 450.
And Neocond again?
Neocond again is about almost twice that.
Okay.
But given the opportunity, I should say people should definitely not be intimidated by that because the articles are all independent. In other words, you can dip into the table of contents and pick a piece that looks like it's of interest. You know, if you want an education on the torture scandal, you read an article by Dan Smith, for instance. You want something on the war on terror and problems with it, you read another. We have a great Red Cross, former Red Cross lawyer, international lawyer, who writes about the law of armed conflict and how this, frankly, this lawlessness that comes along with the war on terror is something that's really a stain on our history.
Yeah.
So you can pick, you know, you can skip around, and there are the essays are grouped in individual sections. There's three or four essays on the media, much of what we discussed earlier on about this, you know, how things are represented by our official spokesman and whether or not that squares with what the truth is. Three or four articles on that in one section by itself. So really, you know, people don't have to feel like they need to read 800 pages from one to the next. But I would humbly suggest that if you don't read it, or at least read a few of the pieces and start getting into the real substance, you can hardly even form an opinion on what's going on over there without having that essential background. And that's, you know, that's what we aim to do, is to arm people with this knowledge to allow them to make judgments and pass judgments where they have the facts and not just the sound bites.
And John, this is also for future administrations. It looks like we'll probably, if the political cycle holds, let me see, we had 8 years of a Democrat, we had 8 years of a Republican, we're going to get probably another 8 years of a Democrat. Well, it doesn't matter who's plugged into the hot seat there in Washington, D.C. It's the same agenda that's going to continue, more or less, just different faces. But, folks, you need to understand how these people think, what we're under here. Now, Neocond and Neocond again. Neocond, we sell that here at Republic Broadcasting Network. That's $25.95 plus shipping, $4.50 is shipping and handling. You can go up to the store, rbnlive.com. There's a button right on the top left of the page, the Freedom Store. And Neocond again, that one's 900 pages. That's $29.95 plus $4.50 shipping and handling. You can go online and get it, or wait till Monday and call us at 800-724-2719. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, folks. We'll give you both of these books minus the $9 shipping. Okay, so it'll just be $25.95 for Neocond. That's 900 pages, or I'm sorry, that's 450 pages. Neocond again, 900 pages, $29.95. Give us a call Monday. Everybody's gone. It's a Friday. Yeah, everybody's out of here. 800-724-2719. Mark that down. Give us a call Monday. We'll ship you out both copies. No shipping. We'll forgo the shipping on those. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Lines are wide open. We'll take your calls next hour. We'll continue this conversation with John Sharp. We'll do all that right after a little bit of this.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.